Now we're going to chat football for a while. We're going to be chatting about Matt Doherty and his seeming struggle at Tottenham for some reason, Liverpool's poor form, and City against Manchester United tomorrow. And we're joined to discuss these topics and others by former Irish international Stephen Elliott. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
How's it going, Des? Keeping well?
Yeah, great, thanks. What about Liverpool? Five games in a row they've been beaten at home. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's who would have thought, like, after how dominant they were last season. And obviously this year they've had their injury worries. But still, to lose five home games, even with the players they have at their disposal, is unbelievable, really. And looking at them, it's even watching them, it's become kind of predictable watching them. If they don't kind of score early doors, the team seem to find it very comfortable against them, and they don't create chances anymore. And if Salah's not scoring goals, then you're kind of struggling to see where they're going to get any goals from. And obviously Klopp the other night actually took Salah off, and maybe he kind of done that with a view to say, listen, we all need to kind of get a finger out here. But now it's mind-boggling, really, the difference compared to last season.
Do you buy into tiredness can affect the team? Like, if you're playing a high-pressing, high-energy game, it can take its toll. Do you buy into tiredness, fatigue, or is it mental fatigue maybe with Liverpool?
It could be a little bit mental fatigue. Like, I think you probably, the thing as well, teams have probably studied Liverpool, how they played over the last couple of seasons, because not only last season when they won the Premier League, the season before they picked up an incredible amount of points, and had they not been for City being so dominant as well, they probably would have won the Premier League in many other seasons gone by. But I think teams are maybe starting to look at them, and they've seen there's a way of kind of frustrating them, and Liverpool just don't seem to have any answers at the moment. And again, you point to the injuries. He brought Jota in there at a time where he felt his front three weren't probably doing as much as they could, and Jota seemed to kind of give them a little kick up the backside, but he obviously picked up an injury which didn't help things on that front. But no, listen, you can get mentally tiring, but still, the players Liverpool have, you can't excuse losing five games at Anfield. It really is, it's unacceptable, really.
In your career, I'm sure there were times when you were playing in a team and you had a slump in form and you're going, our team is better than this. How difficult is it to get out of a slump for a team when everyone knows they should be doing better but they're not?
It is. There's the old saying, kind of winning is a habit, and unfortunately losing seems to be a bit of a habit as well now. Like, but again, we talk about teams I played for. I never played for Liverpool. I never played a team as big as Liverpool. But there's an expectancy to win games. Like, when you play for Liverpool, you're expected to win more games than not. And I don't think, I can't remember in recent history where Liverpool have lost five home games on the bounce. So it's one of them. When you keep losing games, I've been in a situation at Sunderland when we got relegated in amongst the squad. It's very hard to lift yourself week in, week out when you feel like you're giving everything. Like, players are trying everything. You're doing extra in training. The manager doesn't know whether you kind of have to kind of walk on different passages of play or kind of do a little bit more training, or maybe doing too much training. Like you mentioned earlier on, is there a tiredness there? Okay, ease off a little bit and train. So you're kind of trying to come up with the answers both as a kind of coaching staff and players, and it's very difficult to get out of the slump. And again, when Liverpool would have looked at Man City as their kind of their rivals, like, and they see Man City on the other hand just winning week after week, it can be a little bit demoralising. And you're looking at Liverpool's season now, and it's kind of, even the Champions League spots, there's no guarantee they're going to finish in the top four. So again, they can kind of pull their season, they can save their season, so to speak, if they can kind of find some sort of run in the Champions League. But with the way they're playing, you just wouldn't bet on that happening.
Yeah. Well, in contrast, we should acknowledge how good Chelsea were. And since Thomas Tuchel has taken over, he's transformed them. They're unbeaten.
Yeah, I thought Chelsea were very impressive the other night against Liverpool. They looked very dangerous going forward at all times. Chelsea were doing terribly under Frank Lampard, but I just think Tuchel's given them a little bit more of a way of playing, a way of breaking down teams. And if you watched them against Liverpool the other night, so many times they had people breaking beyond the lines, and they had a couple of offside decisions that could have gone kind of with them that went against them. And I think they found it quite comfortable breaking Liverpool down. on. And in Mason Mount, I feel they have a really top player. I think he's really embraced playing under Tuchel, and I think it's been a really good appointment so far. And I would actually look out for Chelsea over the next couple of seasons. I think with a few more additions, they could be a real threat to the Premier League again.
It's like the direct contrast from Liverpool, isn't it? That Chelsea, you know, 10 games ago under Lampard seemed to be lacking confidence and a bit aimless and rudderless. And now they look sharp.
Yeah, and again, watching the match against Liverpool the other night, it was like watching Liverpool, over the past couple of seasons, but they were playing in Chelsea. Like, they'd done everything to Liverpool, what Liverpool had been doing to teams, and like kind of pressing them high, getting bodies high up the pitch and not letting Liverpool kind of get any foothold in the game. And yeah, Chelsea, they look exciting. They got pace in their team as well, Des. And when you have a bit of pace and you have that bit of confidence in the squad, and listen, Chelsea are a team full of top world-class players. So if things are going to click there, then you know they're going to kind of be a force to be reckoned with. And I think Werner, once he starts getting in the goals as well, he's going to be a big player in the Premier League. It hasn't quite worked out for him goal tally-wise, but there's something in there. I like the look of him, and I think Tuchel is going to stick with him and hopefully get the best out of him from a Chelsea's point of view.
Yeah, so Chelsea are in the Champions League spot in fourth place on 47 points, but very tight. Everton and West Ham immediately behind them, each with a game in hand. Everton on 46, West Ham on 45, and Liverpool back on 43. Are you surprised Everton and West Ham are hanging in?
I'm a little bit surprised that West Ham, obviously the squad there, you would probably look at West Ham and say, listen, they've got some good players as well, but they're probably in and around company that you wouldn't kind of expect them to be at the start of the season. But Everton, on the other hand, I'm not majorly surprised that they're up there, because they've got the manager's come in for a start. He's a top quality manager. He's had success all over Europe, and he's won competitions in some of the biggest leagues in Europe. So he's well used to being up the top end of in and around top teams. And I think he's kind of brought that little bit of wow factor to Everton, and the players are starting to buy into him now. And you watch for Carlson, he's on fire at the moment. He's a really, really top quality player. And again, he's found a little bit more under Ancelotti. And I just think the squad in general, he looked more fluid, Everton. And I actually have a feeling they could finish in the top 4 days, to be honest. I really like the look of them at the moment.
It could be bad, even worse for Liverpool if Everton get their place in the top four. But just behind Liverpool are Tottenham Hotspur. Now, Matt Doherty, the Irish international, went to Tottenham in the summer, and you know, we were all thrilled for him, etc. And for some reason, it hasn't gone well for him. There's uncertainty as to what Mourinho thinks of him, and certainly the Spurs fans on social media are giving him a dreadful time. What do you make of Doherty's reign at Tottenham?
Yeah, well, I think when he at Wolves over the last couple of seasons, there he was probably one of Wolves' main attacking threats, from that right wing back slot. And the way Wolves played, they really suited the way Matt Doherty played. It suited his game. He was able to kind of make them marauding runs down the right hand side that we've become accustomed to seeing over the past couple of years, scoring a lot of goals as well. But I think the way Spurs set up is a lot different to the way Wolves set up. Obviously, Jose Mourinho kind of tends to maybe not be as expansive as what, say, Wolves have been played. And I think he's missed out on game time because of the way Jose has played. And listen, you only have to look at Gareth Bale when he first went there. Jose Mourinho doesn't really care who you are. If you don't suit the way he wants to play, then you don't play. And I think it's just been a difficult fourth season for him. But Matt's a competent lad, and I'm sure he's trying to kind of adjust his game to try and fit in a little bit better to what way the manager wants him to play there. And hopefully he can kind of turn things around there, because again, from an Ireland's point of view, you want them playing, because he's one of our biggest players at the moment.
I was watching the Spurs Fulham game the other night, and things like miscontrolling the ball in on occasions when he could do it with his eyes closed, or a poor cross, you know, when Spurs have several players running into the box. It's amazing how when it goes wrong for you, the confidence goes.
Exactly, it's just that confidence thing. He's probably like you mentioned there, control on the football. I know people say, yeah, it should be easy, and it should. But sometimes when things aren't going great for you, the little things like that, you have to think about a little bit more. And again, maybe you're overthinking things. You're trying too hard, and maybe he's having a little bit of that. But I still think Matt, his personality, I think he has what it takes to kind of turn this around. And hopefully, it won't be too long before we see the Matt Doherty that we were seeing at Wolves. And because as I said, more importantly, from my point of view, we need to see him playing full of confidence and sharp, because I think he can be a big threat when playing for Ireland.
Great, OK. Well, let's turn to the big match of the weekend is the derby, Manchester City against Manchester United. And remarkably, City could go 17 points clear of United in second place if City win that derby tomorrow. Scoring has become a big problem for United lately. They haven't scored in the last three games. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says fine margins of football can be crucial.
3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we couldn't defend. Then we were really well attacking-wise. That's the narrative anyway. Now the narrative is that we can't score a goal. It's been a week without us scoring goals. It's not long ago we really played some fantastic football against Sociedad, some good goals against Newcastle, Southampton. So it's sometimes margins, you know, in football. So and that little step back now, one day extra recovery before this derby. Hopefully we can get our spark back.
Yeah, and Pep Guardiola doesn't want to get carried away about this match. He says every game is important.
It's important, this game. It is. Like it was the previous one, like it was the previous one, and it was the previous one. So, and will be the next one. So I know how difficult is United, and we experienced that. And last years, I had the feeling that every season is better. But in the same time, we know the opportunity that we have to maintain, you know, to try to increase the distance and... But like today we spoke and we're training, it's just what you have to do to beat them on the pitch and the way we want to play.
That's Pep Guardiola. Well, Stephen Elliott, we'll chat about Manchester United scoring issues in a moment, but haven't City been fantastic to watch?
Yeah, I think watching City now at the moment, they just look unstoppable. They look like the Man City of a couple of seasons back when you just didn't think they were gonna give away, concede a goal, never mind lose a game. But it's phenomenal, and it's funny when you look back to the opening game of the season between the two teams, the nil all game, when there was kind of a bit of a drab affair. Like both teams just seemed happy for the point, and in fact, Man United, I think, ended up a point above City in the league table at that time after the game. But since then, like, City have just gone on this run where they haven't lost a game, and for Man United, they've kind of gone the opposite way, and it's just been an unbelievable turnaround. Some of the players Man City have, the way they're playing at the moment, it's like it doesn't really matter what players he puts out. They know the way that they're asked to play. Like, he brings Foden off the bench at times. He's got Gundogan playing out of his skin. And the thing for me is Pep Guardiola, he won't mention it. Listen, the league table suggests that the Premier League is done and dusted. I can't see that gap being taken back. But what I will do, it might give Pep a little bit more leeway to kind of sort his squad out a little bit better for that Champions League, because I think that's the one he really wants. I think, like he's mentioned before, he wants to win the Champions League with Man City, and I think he's won everything so far. He could end up winning four trophies this year. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That good City, you wouldn't put it past them at the moment. European wise, like, is anybody in Europe as good as them? You'd probably point to Bayern Munich, maybe. They've obviously hold it to the competition.
I know, but Stephen, I take your point in Europe. They're mesmerising in the Premier League, but every year they keep getting caught in Europe when they shouldn't get caught, you would think.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. The fact that they've got such a cushion in the Premier League, it may give Pep a little bit more time to kind of focus on that Champions League, the Champions League ties a little bit more. And I don't know. I would like to see him do. I like Pep. I think what he stands for, the way he plays the game, and the way he comes across. I think he's everything that football should be. And listen, people will point to the financial situation he has. I see he's able to bring the best players in, but it's still managing all these players. Like, there's a lot of players there that would probably our other clubs wouldn't be too happy with the amount of game time they'd want to play a little bit more. But Pep seems to have what it takes to keep them all happy, and they all respect him, and they all know what's expected of them when they're on the pitch. And it's what you see when that happens is what you're seeing at the moment. 21 games in a row. It's just phenomenal, really. Whether we'll see it again, I'm not sure, but it really is. It's a breath of fresh air watching them at the moment.
Yeah. And United, in fairness, they're in second place, etc., but haven't scored in three games, slight concerns. Is their attack strong enough? Is Martial, Rashford, are they good enough? Does he need another striker?
On their day, Man United, going forward, they can be anything they want to be. It's just that consistency. You sense sometimes, like, Bruno Fernandes has played a lot of football. I think he was the go-to man. If he played well, then it seemed in Man United got the positive results. But if he slightly kind of isn't at his game as well as he can be, then the rest of the team seem to kind of they don't have what it takes to kind of lift themselves a little bit. And that's something that Ollie will have to kind of look at going forward if he wants to kind of close the gap between Manchester City and obviously Liverpool from seasons gone by. But no, I do think they're good. I think Rashford, listen, we've seen Rashford do things on the football pitch sometimes where you're just kind of looking at him going, wow. And it's just that consistency. I think they have the players there. Martial, he's a frustrating player. You watch him sometimes and you'd say, this guy is unplayable. And then another times you think, is he even bothered? So this is something that either the players have to kind of find in themselves or the manager has to kind of find a way to get them ticking a little bit more consistently. And just, you've got Cavani there again. He's got some of the best movement I've seen from a striker in the Premier League. But again, you can't be just depending on one player to do it. You've got to have the likes of Martial, Rashford, Bruno Fernandes all doing it consistently at the right time. And again, they have the quality there. Whether they have as much quality as City in depth is questionable, yeah. But they definitely got a little bit more quality there that would suggest that the gap should be a little bit closer to what City are.
Yeah, one of our texters saying, easy for City to play so well. Money speaks to that club, like it or not. I hope he doesn't win anything other than the league. I hate the ethos of that club and Chelsea too, buying success. But you did explain that it's having to manage the players in as to the Virgil van Dijk absence really hurting Liverpool, pointed out as well. We have a 3 o'clock game. Sheffield United, bottom of the league, but they're still hanging in there and they're still kicking and fighting. And Southampton have been in free fall. They have just 1 point from their last nine, and shortly we'll hear from their boss, Ralph Hasenhüttl. But first, the Sheffield United boss, Chris Wilder, whose team ended that four-match losing run with victory over Aston Villa during the week. He'll be looking for another win against a team he respects despite their recent slide.
So, you know, obvious quality, but as you said, sometimes when you lose a little bit of momentum and you lose some key players and some results don't go for you, this is what can happen in the Premier League. But they've... Yeah, talented manager and a lot of good players and, you know, an established Premier League club, as I've said all along.
Look at the game on Wednesday against Villa. To win at home with one man down for 30 minutes, I think, shows you everything, how tough it will be there to win. We know this. It's a Premier League game. It's every time difficult. And this is the reason why we are very, very warned. What we have to expect there, and I need the players, they accept this and fight for it, win.
All right, well, let's go to Sheffield United now, to Bramall Lane. Sheffield United playing Southampton. David Eason is there reporting for us. What's the spirit like at Sheffield United? They're still bottom. Have they given up yet, or are they battling on?
I think that's a really good question, and which dressing room you'd rather be in this afternoon with Sheffield United still thinking that they can finish at least positively and look ahead to next season, wherever that might be. Of course, it's 99% is going to be in the Championship. But with Southampton, they come here with 1 point from nine matches since that, a kind of emotional victory over Liverpool that had Ralph Hasenhüttl in tears at the end of the game. It's really just off. The wheels have fallen off since then. With Sheffield United, there's still just a possibility. And I think they just want to finish on a high in some way. And the results that they're getting at the moment are definitely better than Southampton's. And Southampton, if this carries on for a few more weeks, will start to look very, very closely at the bottom three, because that's where they'll be.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. The bottom three have been the same for months now. There's children on the public address system there, is there?
They're trying to get as many fans in as possible on the screen.
They deserve to be relegated for their public address. But Fulham on 23 points, they're the ones who look like they might be able to break out, but they haven't been able to. Newcastle and Brighton are 3 points above Fulham. Do you think they'll get dragged back in?
The Newcastle story is an interesting one. We'll see what the reaction is tomorrow to whatever happened in the training session this week at St James's Park. And they're playing West Brom tomorrow.
Sorry, David, just for people who mightn't have read that, this was a reported row involving Steve Bruce.
Yeah, and whether he squared up with one of his players, with Matt Ritchie, because of what happened on the pitch last week was a complicated, confused substitution to which Matt Ritchie got the blame and was apparently suggesting that Bruce did not stick up for him in that. Whether that comes back to haunt them tomorrow, whether it's just what happens on training grounds and it's got out there for some reason, we'll see if there's a reaction from Newcastle against West Brom tomorrow. But with teams playing each other down the bottom, if West Brom were to beat beat Newcastle tomorrow, that does drag them in. Of course, if Southampton start to lose more games, then that's them in the mix as well. It relies on the teams at the bottom to start winning games. But the difference between maybe Sheffield United and Fulham this season is that Fulham have turned defeats into draws, and Sheffield United have lost a lot of games by single goals. Mm. And that really is the difference between them. They could both end up going down, of course, but there are teams who are losing games quite regularly, and they will start to look below them.
All right, David, thanks for that. Just a final word from you, Stephen Elliott, on that Newcastle story. Obviously, you're living nearby. What's the reaction to this reported fight in the training ground involving Steve Bruce?
Yeah, it's typical when you're kind of going through a bad spell. Like, everything seems to kind of be highlighted a little bit more. But somebody's obviously, they're reporting her up here that somebody's leaked the argument, obviously, between Bruce and Richie in the press. But again, we'll find out what type of reaction we get on the pitch when we see Newcastle play. But they'll be worried, Newcastle. Like, you look at Fulham, they've managed to start winning some games. West Brom, you never rule West Brom out with Sam Allardyce. I know it hasn't quite torn for him yet, but stranger things have happened. There's still 11 games to be played in the season. A lot can happen in that time. But I would genuinely worry for Newcastle, because they can't seem to get any type of run. And I don't know, it's 3 points between them and Fulham. Fulham have found a goal scorer as well, and Josh Maggi, a young lad that used to be at Sunderland, actually. And Newcastle play Fulham last game of the season. That could turn out to be a very interesting game, like, if results stay the way they are.
OK, Liverpool fans still moaning about Virgil van Dijk's injury, says a texter. Pathetic. He was playing when they conceded 7 to Villa last October. And Richard says, do United need a striker? Nothing sure. What they have is useless. United fans are getting very frustrated. Stephen Elliott, thanks a million for joining us.
Cheers, Des.